There is Expo Thursday, the 19th, and besides the job fair, where if you dress to impress, maybe you can get a job, there's also Expo's Education Conference. Tuesday Tate is here in the studio, and on our live line is one is Living History.
Living.
Now, he is living history.
Yeah.
You know, he may not know it, but I know he is living history. He is the professor of psychiatry, faculty associate dean for student affairs, and the director of the Office of Recruitment and Multicultural Affairs at Harvard. You know, that's the school the president went to.
Mm-hmm.
That's the school where all the powerful white folks went to. Dr. Alvin Poussaint literally has written not just the book, but he has written about the struggles of African Americans, particularly our kids in education. Yeah. He's the one that said racism is a mental illness. I believe it's he did that. Oh, he not only did he do that, he influenced a couple of generations of Americans of all races and colors when he collaborated with another PhD by the name of William Cosby to create the Cosby Show, which first showed a positive black family before the country saw the Obamas. Because before the Obamas, there was the Huxtables.
Wow,
he is the keynote speaker at this year's Indiana Black Expo Educational Conference. And we're honored to have Dr. Poussaint on our live line. Welcome, sir.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You know, I always get thrilled when I get to talk to people from Harvard.
Okay.
Let me ask you, from your perspective, what is the challenge facing African Americans in education today?
It's an enormous, difficult challenge because there's so many things that work against black kids making it, particularly black kids from lower social economic backgrounds. I think they have so many things to cope with. Parents who are below the poverty line, crowded schools, crowded neighborhoods, crime in the neighborhood, many parents who themselves are high school dropouts, because we have such a high high school dropout rate in the black community nationally, and so that they're not able to act as the teachers that they should be with their children, and often may have less information about how to be a good parent with their children. And so that there's a lot of hurdles to overcome, and it's not just the school. It's the parents. It's the community. It's the economy. Right now, more black families are hurting because of the recession. The unemployment rate has gone up in the black community for men and women. So it means that the whole community is under more stress. Then add to that, you know, the problems that are always in the background, particularly health issues in the black community, mental health issues where people are not having enough access or care, and then just physical health and public health. You know, not having a job and being poor affects your health. You're more likely to become ill. You're likely to have a shorter life expectancy. So there's many, many burdens, and many people feel overwhelmed and kind of give up trying, or they might adopt the whole style in their neighborhood, even though it's not taking them anywhere or damaging to them and their kids, as being the norm.
Dr. Poussaint, we have on this program, and education is probably a third of what we talk about in these two-hour sessions, Monday through Friday. Education, you know, is a major subject that comes up. And there's a couple of threads come through our audience and community when we talk about education. From your perspective, the disproportionate number of African Americans that are in special education, particularly African American males, for those moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas that are listening right now whose kids may be in special education, what advice would you give them?
Well, what advice I would give them is first to find out why, to know from the school or a city what's the criteria for putting kids in special ed. What is it that they have to be deficient in some way or acting up in some way? Sometimes kids get put in special ed just because they have conduct problems or they're disobedient or they talk back to the teacher. Other times they're in there because they have attention deficit disorders, and other learning disabilities. And I think that parents should work closely with the school, because we know that a lot of kids in special ed can be helped with good teachers, specially trained teachers, and with the support of their families and household. But there has to be follow-through from the school into the home so that these children get a consistent type of care, discipline, nurturing coming from the school and the home. And that's easier said than done.
We're here in Indiana, which is on the cutting edge of, you know, putting a charter school, seems like, on every corner. Like, on every corner is a charter school, a drugstore, and a gas station. And there's a number of our listeners that think, aha, this is a big plot to undermine and reduce public education. What are your thoughts on this whole charter and undermining public education?
Well, you know, there are some conflicts there. And I don't know that it's been established entirely. But some in some communities where you have charter schools, the parents and community may pay a lot of attention to the charter schools and kind of neglect, even sometimes with money, the other schools that, quote, are public, open to all of the kids. And some charter schools, people feel that they attract the more motivated kids, the more motivated parents, and kind of skim off the cream in the community and allow the other, the rest of the system to kind of deteriorate before them. I think a lot of these things can be watched, and I think care should be taken that we're still, the goal is to educate all of our children. And also, you know, there's the issue of, well, from the charter school standpoint, let's salvage as many of these children as possible by having you know, special schools and with a special curriculum with good teachers and so on, so that they have at least some opportunity for success that they otherwise would not have in the public school system.
You know,
although charter schools are public schools. Many of them. I mean, but I'm. You know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, Dr. Alvin Poussaint. When a high school student takes the ACT or the SAT, and they get their score back, it doesn't determine how that student did. Doesn't determine whether their high school is considered the greatest high school since sliced bread or the worst high school since sliced bread. But if a kid takes one of these state standardized tests, it labels the school, the system, the city. Are you concerned that too many kids in America today, that our schools are teaching kids how to pass a standardized test and not teaching them the subjects they need in life?
Well, we certainly know there are some schools that do that who, under pressure, because of the state or the city, have to boost scores. Even No Child Left Behind kind of suggests that that's what should happen. And so they overemphasize the standardized test that children take and will guide their whole curriculum around getting higher scores on the tests rather than teaching them in depth the lessons and the subjects that they need to know. So I think that's something that should be guarded against. At the same time, I think a lot of our youth have to learn how to take standardized tests so that they can use them effectively for college education, advanced education in the future, because those tests are used one way or the other, the SATs, the achievement test, and so on, to decide whether our children get into college, where they get into college. So it's good to be as competitive as possible, but I don't think that the children who don't do well on those standardized tests should be labeled. The school should not be labeled as defective because, let me just say this, that a lot of those tests, including the SAT, a lot of the score that children achieve is based on their socioeconomic status, the education of their parents, what the community is like. In other words, it reflects more sometimes their background than it does their native intelligence. So you shouldn't give up on students who didn't do well on a standardized test. They can still be very bright, but come from circumstances where doing well on those tests was not supported, and where they're, for instance, we know that the SAT test varies very much according to your parents' income and your parents' education. So when all these students go out to take the SAT, the students who score the highest tend to come from homes and circumstances that are much more middle class than children from low-income backgrounds. But it's not because low-income kids are not bright. It's because the social infrastructure, if I can call it that, their parents' education, whether they're poor or not poor, their neighborhood affects the scores they get on those tests.
Isn't it also
to pull them down?
Isn't it also sometimes that a kid, just like a professional athlete or a person in the professions, an attorney, may have a bad day in court, a bad argument, and lose a case because they didn't do their best. In the next case, they ace it.
Oh yes, and you have the whole question of motivation, if I can call it that.
Mm-hmm.
But kids have different attitudes toward taking tests. And you'll have a lot of kids walk in who don't take it seriously, or they're so intimidated by it that they don't do well, or really have not had enough practice or help in how you handle these tests. Sometimes kids do badly on standardized tests of all type who don't have good language development.
Right.
Who don't have a good command of English. And so that they may look at a math problem because a command of English is not good, they may misunderstand the question and get it wrong, but not because they don't understand math quite. You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, I understand completely. Tuesday.
Yeah, that if your reading ability is good,
right,
and comprehension is good, your scores on all sections of those exams would go up.
Tuesday Tate is at Indiana Black Expo, the executive in charge of youth and family services. People are kind of getting a preview of Dr. Alvin Poussaint. What is he going to be doing when he keynotes this year's Expo Education Conference?
Great, great question. First of all, I would like to greet you, Dr. Poussaint, and thank you for being a part of our education conference this year, developing the minds of the new millennium students. Some of the things we just kind of share with Dr. Poussaint, even as it deals with, you know, bullying being a major part of just what we're seeing not only in Indianapolis, across the state, but even the country, to even as the keynote. Certainly, we put some thoughts before him, and he being the expert, we want him to deliver his message as he's led to do that. But even addressing bullying and the mindset of the bullier and the person who allows themselves to be bullied. What is that mindset? Also, just in the things that some of the other workshops that we're dealing with, how to educate our African-American males and our Latino males. Why is the way that we educate them different from how our Caucasian young people are educated? So some of the things that what we would like to see, and we hope that his keynote addresses before they go into the workshops or the second half of the workshops, is kind of bridging all of that. They've had an opportunity to do one session of workshops, and then Dr. Poussaint comes forward and does his keynote message, and then they'll have a second swing of those same workshops, and kind of bridging all of that together and understanding the mindset maybe of a third grader and how this I Read 3 affects third graders, how that translates into prisons being built. Because if you are not proficient at reading in the third grade, the statistics indicate that 16% of children who cannot read by the third grade will not finish high school. And so if they don't finish high school, where do they go? They go to the streets. And so there's some statistics that show that that's how they determine how our prisons are built. And so what is the mindset? How do we get our third graders loving to read and wanting to read and helping the teachers to understand that? So kind of bridging our workshops into his message is our hope.
Yeah, and you can see there are a lot of factors that affect the learning of children.
Yes, sir.
You know, the atmosphere and the home, the education of the parents, what the parents do as parents. For instance, they know that children tend to do better if they are read to as children. If you read books to them, if you talk to them a lot, if you teach them vocabulary, that they will be more ready to handle school and do much better.
Dr. Poussin, it's
difficult sometimes to get parents to appreciate or sometimes even have the time to do that.
Dr. Poussin, I got to ask you, do we need to teach parenting skills at the secondary school level in this country?
Absolutely. I think we... My own feeling, and people kind of think it's kind of off the chart. I feel that in beginning in middle school, that all students should have some education on child development and parenting
The middle school level,
because that's the only you have a captive audience, and we know with young girls who get pregnant and the sex in the community, that it starts kind of in middle school. And so if you had more both boys and girls, but particularly the girls, understanding more about what makes a good parent, how to handle a child, how to teach a child, how to discipline a child, you would have much better outcomes. That's my opinion. They should even maybe set up such programs to test that idea. But if they're good parents, then the kids are likely to be more effective children and more likely to be successful.
Dr. Poussin, one of the big discussions here in Indiana is everybody's been talking about the quality of teachers. My mom taught me the quality of that school leader, the quality of the principal is even more important than the school leader. How important is it for school principals, particularly school principals in a multicultural school, to understand the psyche of minority groups, whether they're black, brown, red, or yellow?
Well, in terms of, we know that cultural competence, if I can use that term, is important.
That's the theme of our conference.
Okay.
Yeah, in all areas. And I think the more the principal understands the community, can communicate with parents and with teachers and with the children, we know that frequently it's a principal who may want to be one of the key people in whether a school is successful or not successful. And so principals are very important. So are the teachers are very important. And then so are the parents. And I think schools where there's more parent involvement in the school in every way, that the school functions on a much higher level.
Now, just because this is the Indiana Black Expo Education Conference, you don't have to be an educator to attend the conference. But educators that are listening, school bus drivers, support personnel, cafeteria workers, office workers, bus monitors, Arlington dads,
exactly.
The community, you need to come out. And now the early bird registration is how much and for how long?
$25 until the 18th, the day before.
$25 between now and the day before.
Yes.
If you sleep it, then you pay in full price.
That's right.
$25. And I heard if a group buys a bunch of tickets, they can get some other folk in there.
Yes, 10 or more. We will match any school or district that sends 10 or more educators or organizations who focus on education and educating our youth. If they send 10 or more, we will match those numbers. If you send 25 or more, we will not only match, but you will also get onstage recognition for being a partner with Indiana Black Expo in education.
And you'll not only hear the wisdom of Dr. Alvin Poussin, but you guys have a great lineup of people. Was it the superintendent of Miami is coming?
Yes, Miami-Dade. Alberto Cavallaro, yes.
See.
Who has mastered how to help teachers gain their increase. We have these
evaluations
and compensation.
He'll tell them how to get over positively.
Yes, how to improve that. And even with cultural competency, to help our teachers understand that even though most of the students that they teach may not look like them and may not come from their communities, cultural competency is not a negative. It's just helping us all understand how to relate to our young people. And so coming into an environment where you have understanding understanding of why these young people think the way that they think because of where they came from, that you can perhaps have a more positive experience in your classroom. There is a class on discipline without disruption. Mm-hmm. How do we discipline these young people and keep them in school without expelling them?
Right.
And so we have some great, great courses for
so
our
So you
teachers
need to be there and also hear the wisdom. And we just gave you a little sample of the wisdom of Dr. Alvin Poussin. But in order to hear the full wisdom in living color, right up close.
Be there.
He might even tell a William H. Cosby story or two. You never know. Sign up for the Indiana Black Expo Education Conference. Just go to the website of Indiana Black Expo at IndianaBlackExpo.com. IndianaBlackExpo.com. What's that website? IndianaBlackExpo.com. Or call the ever-popular number, 925-2702, 925-2702. And Dr. Alvin Poussin, it's been an honor and a privilege.
Good. Well, thank you very much.
To share
I think
with
it's
you.
An important conference, and people should really turn out for it who are interested in helping the children and helping the community.
And not only is he a bad brother, you know, I mentioned it was Harvard, but it's really the Harvard Medical School. That's a serious school.
Right.
I mean, that compared to our Indiana University School of Medicine, that's the difference between way up there and wannabe. See that
maybe,
made doctor?
Maybe not.
I was trying to lift Harvard up. I'm trying. Dr. Alvin Poussin, thanks very much for being with us.
You're very welcome.